Our first feature is the unbelievable story of 22-year-old Sergeant Roberts' life and death. It is read by Elaine Smith.
499 men from Norfolk's 448 bomb group lost their lives during World War II. While we pay our respects to them and all who fell during the wars, we are going to focus our remembrance story on the last man from the group to die as a direct result of the war. The date was February the 21st, 1944. The 448 were on a mission to Germany. Their target, the airfields at Vorden, Hessepe and Diepholz. However, as they approached, cloud obscured their view, forcing them to search for a target of opportunity. They found ACMA airfield on the outskirts of Hessepe. As they closed in, the sky was filled with a blanket of heavy flak, and they were unable to bomb on their first pass, forcing them to fly over the target again. Sergeant Robert Hudson, nicknamed Bombs Away Bob, was on aircraft 427764, piloted by Lieutenant Harvey Broxton. Robert had been placed as a waste gunner for the mission. Approaching the target, a burst of flak disabled their number 3 engine. As the flight deck was trying to feather the engine, they started to lag behind and quickly fell out of formation. Meanwhile, the rest of the bomb group was being attacked by Luftwaffe FW-190s. Two aircraft were lost and others damaged. Still flying on 3 engines, Robert's crew arrived over the target alone and dropped their load. Dropping out of formation was a signal for the German Focke Wulf 190s to attack. They came in from all directions, Robert recalled in an interview in 1945. 5 FW-190s spotted them and started to attack. Tail gunner Sergeant Irvin Elber fought off the enemy until machine gun fire ripped into his turret, disabling his guns and seriously wounding him. I was hit in 8 places by flak or explosive 50mm shells, but the injuries weren't bad enough to take me off my feet, Robert stated in his interview. He called the tail gunner on the intercom, but got no answer. So he went back into the tail, dragging the gunner into the waist of the aircraft. Robert found the other waist gunner had also been hit and was on the floor of the plane. He administered first aid to both, despite being injured himself, and for this action, Robert would receive the Distinguished Flying Cross. After receiving treatment, Sergeant Elber returned to his turret, only to find it out of commission, so quickly returned to the waist. Machine gun and cannon fire from the FW-190s quickly destroyed the number 4 engine and riddled the B-24 from nose to tail. Lieutenant Broxton repeatedly attempted to feather the number 4 engine by diving suddenly down, but to no avail. These attempts caused the windscreen to fog over, reducing visibility to 0. Co-pilot Lieutenant Covell opened the side window for visibility, but cannon shells flew in, exploding in the dash and destroying the flight instruments. The pilots now had no choice but to fly by needle, ball and airspeed. With damage to the engines, the aircraft was sinking fast, hitting an altitude of 200 feet. Lieutenant Broxton ordered everything to be thrown overboard in an attempt to gain height. The vicious attacks continued, and cannon fire ignited hydraulic fluid that had leaked into the bomb bay. A flash fire exploded the bomb bay doors out. Robert, with the help of Sergeant Elba and Lieutenant Sharp, fought to put out the fire. The aircraft continued to lose height despite the efforts. Without warning, a 50mm shell crashed through the plane and exploded at Robert's side. "I had to lie down then," he said. Fragments of the shell had torn through one of his kidneys and into his spine. He was paralysed from the waist down. My buddy, the other waist gunner, had it in one leg. It looked as if it was over for us, so he bailed out. That was the last we saw or heard of him. We were flying so low that we were afraid his silk didn't have time to open. I guess that if I had been able to move, I would have bailed out too. That waist gunner was Sergeant Henry Kubinski. Sadly, he did not survive. A Dutch family recovered his body from a river near Ommen. The five FW-190s continued to pelt the aircraft until they ran out of ammunition, but the B-24 continued to fly on. German fighters could not believe this wreck was still airborne. Lieutenant Broxton saw one of the German fighter pilots smile and wave as he and the other FW-190s peeled off to return to base, out of fuel and ammunition. Robert's crew was still not out of danger. They still had the North Sea and the 120-mile journey home to contend with, on only two working engines. Would the engines hold down? Would they have enough fuel to make it back? As they skimmed over the North Sea, the uninjured crewmates continued to strip the aircraft, coaxing it to reach 500 feet by the time they reached the English coast. As they reached Seething, they were lacking hydraulic power and the wheels were lowered by hand. They had no radio or means of communication, and, worse, they had no brakes and a severed right rudder. This homecoming was going to take all the skills and energy the crew had left. We signalled with red flares that there were wounded aboard as we came into land, which should have given us a clear field. But another plane was in trouble too, so we fought for the runway, said Robert. The other pilot had more engines than we, so he got in first, and we landed off the runway and ended up in a field. Rescue personnel quickly extinguished the fire that continued to burn in the number 4 engine and attended to the wounded. The battered aircraft contained over 400 holes of variable sizes, an unexploded shell in one fuel tank, and a severed right rudder. A visiting war correspondent named the aircraft Bag of Bones. It never flew again. As for Robert, he was hospitalised in England for over a month, then repatriated to America and to Halloran General Hospital in New York. He was then moved to Schick General Hospital in Clinton, Iowa, where he was taught to use a walking machine. Afterwards, he was transferred to the Mayo General Hospital at Galesburg. By Christmas 1944, Robert had improved significantly and was able to move his legs sufficiently for him to use a walker, so he was able to go home for 17 days. Robert continued to fight on and celebrated VE Day, 1945. But sadly, this celebration was short-lived, as on August the 30th, 1945, he passed away as a direct result of his combat injuries. On the day of his death, he had only just celebrated his 22nd birthday. He left behind his mother, father, and brother. It is said that you die twice. Once when you actually die, and again when you are forgotten. Remembrance Day is a time to observe, reflect, and honour those who not only died, but also survived in the line of duty. So sad.